Good evening. We had a little false start there. Philippians chapter 2 is where we're at. Philippians 2. Philippians chapter 2 and verse 5. Talking about the mind of Christ. We'll go through verse 11. Philippians 2, 5. This Sunday, door knocking this Sunday. And ladies fellowship Tuesday at 6, next Tuesday. Philippians 2, 5. We'll go through verse 11. The mind of Christ. He says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, took upon him the form of a servant, was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore, God also hath highly exalted him, and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven, things in earth, and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Let's pray and talk about the mind of Christ tonight. Father, thank you for your words. Thank you for everybody's here tonight. Lord, I pray everybody that's here would get something from you. And Lord, you would feed your flock, take care of us. Thank you for salvation in Jesus Christ. Lord, these verses are, Lord, I just, reading these verses and thinking about them and studying them and trying to preach them, Father, it's just not even, I can't do them justice to say what all is in these verses, what you've done and what's been done on my behalf and on the behalf of the folks here. Just can't even begin to comprehend and describe it and do it justice, but here it is in the Bible, and I pray you'd help us, help me, Lord, to preach it how you want it preached and be able to nourish the folks here. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, the mind of Christ. So the mind of Christ is going to lead to the exaltation of Jesus Christ. And the reason Paul mentions this, he'll mention the mind several times in Philippians, and there's quite a bit said about your mind in the Bible. There's we said it last week, maybe the week before, so you and I, if you're saved, you will one day have the body that's fashioned like Jesus Christ's glorified body. But you don't have that right now. However, you have access to the thinking and the blueprints to the thoughts and the psychology, so to speak, of Jesus Christ, and you have access to that. You could see the thoughts he thought and Paul's encouragement to the Philippians, because they're going through persecution, because it would be normal to wonder, why does serving God bring about these problems? Why does serving God bring about people being put in jail and people being persecuted? Why does it bring about these problems? You thought the serving God was the blessed life and the abundant life, and when you say abundant, you might think, you know, I'm going to get stuff and I'm going to stay out of trouble and things are going to go great for my life. And so the normal questions would be, why are bad things happening to people who are trying to do good? And Paul answers it with, well, you just need to be reminded of Jesus Christ, who did the ultimate good, who lived the holy life. He lived a perfectly clean life. He lived a righteous life. and ended up dying on a cross. And so if you're going to follow in his footsteps, then don't expect things to go differently, because this is the way the world handled someone who was living a godly life. And so when he says, let this mind be in you, he's trying to protect Philippians, and really for us Christians, I think it's recorded here for anybody to read, to protect you from being offended in things in this life. And so the way to do that and the way to press on is have the same mind Jesus Christ had and think about things the way he thought about them. And so he goes through and describes, all right, here's the mind. This is what Jesus Christ set out to do, and he fixed his mind and his thoughts on these things, and in so doing, he prepared himself for the service of God that would be in conflict with the world, that would endure persecution unto death, but he did it to the end. He suffered and he's exalted for it. But let's read these verses. He says in verse 5, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Jesus Christ is the head of the church. So let the head of the church do the thinking for you. He's the head. That's where the thoughts come from. Let the head do the thinking for you. And to turn a sinner into a servant of God, the mind has got to be corrected from the thoughts that it had before while it was a sinner. And so, more so, and for the servant of God to stay a servant of God and to stay in the race without dropping out of the race, or to stay faithful to the end, the thinking has got to change. And it's got to be thinking like Jesus Christ thought. It's called renewing your mind. He says it in Philippians, renewing your mind. In Romans, he talks about renewing of your mind. He says, be not conformed to this world, be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. And the way you renew your mind is you have the thoughts that Jesus Christ had. And so you think like him, and that's the renewing of your mind. Be not conformed to this world. The more, one of the ways, I guess, people can do church these days is conform to the world in order to make sure the world is okay with what we're doing. And the philosophy that Paul says is be not conformed to the world. You can't be conformed to the world and serve God at the same time. You've got to renew your mind. And so going through this, he says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. All right, so Jesus Christ, again, I think we talked about Sunday night, but Jesus Christ is not high-minded, even though that's where he came from. He came from heaven, he became a man, but he's not high-minded in that sense. He doesn't think of himself as more. He condescended to become a man. He condescended even down to death. But he is the express image, the Bible says, being in the form of God. He is the form of God. He said to Philip one time, he said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. I am the image of God. This is what God looks like in a body. It's Jesus Christ. He's the image of God. So being in the form of God, he thought it not robbery to be equal with God. All right, that was the thing that really put the Pharisees and the religious leaders over the edge with him when he said, I do the works of my Father. And they said, he calls himself the Son of God, making himself equal with God. And he said, the Bible says here, he thought it not robbery to be equal with God. And one of the complaints from the people who killed Jesus Christ was, he makes himself equal with God. Well, he was equal with God. He's the body of God. He's the very image of the Almighty God. He's the image in flesh and blood. And so, but though he was those things, and though he was divinity in flesh and blood, though he was all of that, the Bible says in verse 7, but he made himself of no reputation. Now here's the thinking. This is where the thought process comes in. All right? Jesus Christ has in heaven before he came down. He's God Almighty. He is surrounded by the creation he created. He's surrounded by angels. He's surrounded by cherubim, seraphim, all those kinds of things. And he is the creator of all things and has the reputation that, I mean, nobody else has. But in order to get down to save sinners, the Bible says he made himself of no reputation. So that was his thinking. I'm going to become a man, I'm not going to enter into the world as a successful person with a known family. I don't have a family name. I don't have any particular educational credentials. I don't have any business enterprise that's named after me. So he's born in a stable, in a manger. I mean, he's born in a feed trough. He's laid in a feed trough. His stepdad, Joseph, is a carpenter, and you know, he just works a job till he's 30 years old, I suppose, and learns scripture and all those things, and prepares himself for the ministry. But he doesn't come in as a successful person. He has no reputation, so his social standing is nothing. His social standing is nothing. In fact, part of his social standing was when he came into the world and told people he's the Son of God doing the work of his Father. In the minds of the religious people, it made him more of an outcast than what he was. He became more of a person, a fringe kind of a person, just that had to stay away from the Pharisees, would try to, you know, try to nitpick him, try to get to him, and he was to them just some fringe kind of a crazy nut kind of a person that is making these claims. I think in the end, though, they understand who he is, and the Bible says for envy they would kill him. They knew who he was at some point. They found out, but they didn't care. And that was the thing that is so amazing about all that stuff. When they find out he's the Son of God, they sought the more to kill him, the Bible says. And then when they found out that he resurrected from the dead, which you would think, if someone resurrected from the dead, that would be like, okay, this guy is something now. This is incredible. But no, when they found out that he resurrected from the dead, then they started paying people off to lie about what had happened. I mean, just an incredible. I mean, he never gained any kind of reputation, and the work that he did doing the will of God even made it worse in this world, because he's surrounded by sinners, he's surrounded by hypocrites, he's surrounded by people who want to continue to live in darkness, and they don't want the light to be in their life, and so His life, the light of God Almighty and Jesus Christ, not only did he start with no reputation, but the things he did almost, I mean, in some circles, made his reputation worse, made him more of an outcast. And so his social standing was just, it was non-existent. I mean, he made himself of no reputation. He said to the disciples, he said, you know, if the world hate you, you know that it hated me. So don't expect necessarily different treatment. If you want to follow in my footsteps, then the same treatment that I got is the treatment you'll get. It's not going to be different. You're not going to follow in my footsteps and be exalted by the world. The world esteems things that God doesn't esteem, and God esteems things that the world hates. So you're not going to be able to follow me and be esteemed highly in the world. It's not going to happen. So his social standing, he was an offense. I mean, even in Isaiah, I think it is, the Bible says he will lay in Zion a stone of stumbling, a rock of offense. That's not only the reputation, but it would offend the sensibilities of the people. It would offend them in their sin. His social standing was just, he had no reputation, the Bible says. He made himself of no reputation. From his birth to his death to his resurrection, some of those things that you would think would give someone a reputation, the miracles, the healing of people, the helping of people, it almost made people who hated God hate him more because of what he was doing. And so he makes himself of no reputation. He's an offense. Paul, just going on here, Paul would say the same thing when he's talking to the Galatians. And he said, look, if I preach circumcision, why do I yet suffer persecution? Meaning, if I'm telling these people, just live, do this, become a Jew, get circumcised, be a part of the law. If you keep this part of the law, you'll be all right. If I did that, I wouldn't be persecuted by the social status. I wouldn't be persecuted by the people who are kind of running things. He said, but the problem is what I'm preaching is Jesus Christ and Him crucified, and that goes against what people want to hear. When you tell people they're sinners, it's a real shock to find out you're the sinner. It's a real shock when God says, you know, stop being an idolater, to find out you're the idolater, and it's not them out there, it's here. And so Paul says, you know, if I preach circumcision, why am I suffering persecution? He said, the offense, then is the offense of the cross cease. The offense of the cross. That is the social status of the cross of Jesus Christ. It is an offense. And there's no way to get around that. There's not a way to sneak people in there to the gospel. There's not a way to kind of slide it in there, and you know, maybe they'll get it without getting it, you know, that kind of thing. Just hopefully they'll get it by osmosis. Problem is, the cross is an offense. It says this is what God had to do in order to get you saved. He had to go to a cross, he had to die on a cross, and he had to die in your place, and that is what the extent is that God had to go to in order to get you saved. So it's he made himself of no reputation, took on him, back to verse 7, took upon him the form of a servant. All right, the Bible says, even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister, to give his life a ransom for many. So he became a servant. I mean, you think about this. God never in his existence had to serve anybody. There was never a time where he would have to play the employee, so to speak, and put on the suit and wear the hat and clock in at a certain time and eat lunch at a certain time and all that kind of stuff. He never had to do that. But when he became a man, he did that. He took upon himself the form of a servant. He learned obedience. God never had to be obedient. Who would he be obedient to? Who would he take orders from? Who was going to give him advice on things? But then he became a man, and as a boy, he learned from mom and stepdad and took instruction and went to the temple and taught and then asked questions. And so he took on him the form of a servant. Then it says, took on him the form of a servant and made in the likeness of men. So here's another demotion here. Made in the likeness of men. Here's God, who was never thirsty, was never hungry, who never needed to pay taxes, who never had to answer to anybody, and then he became a man. And now he has to eat, Now he has to sleep. Now he has to drink. Now he has to work within underneath a government. He has to obey laws. He becomes a man in all aspects. The humanity of God. Just subject to all of the things you and I are subject to. Man of sorrow. The Bible says in Isaiah 53, he's a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. And then it says in verse 8, being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death. So, you know, preaching this or trying to go through this, I think, in my mind, it is impossible for me to convey what's going on here. I mean, I don't know how to explain how you go from God to become a man, to serve men, and then become obedient unto death. Meaning, you and I will follow God until the cost is too high. We'll live what we think. I mean, we'll follow Jesus Christ until the cost is too high, or until the pleasures outweigh, you know, the service. I would rather do this and enjoy this than serve God. So we got the pleasures on one side, you got the cost on the other side. Jesus Christ never, when weighing all that stuff, it was just, I'm going to serve God, and if it cost me my life, which it is, that's what's going to happen. So he says he made himself no reputation, being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself, became obedient unto death. And that is that's the victory. It doesn't look like it, but that would be the victory of the cross there, which he says next, even the death of the cross. So in dying, I know we've talked about it before, but in dying, what God does in Jesus Christ is he takes flesh and blood and he subordinates the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, and he subordinates and he pushes those things down and puts them in subjection to the will of God his entire life, even to the point of death. So the cost, it didn't matter what the cost was, his life, that was what it was going to cost him. And so in doing that, the Bible says that was the judgment of the prince of this world on the cross. Say, how is that the judgment of the prince of this world? Well, the prince of this world, we talked about in Sunday school, but the prince of this world operates on those channels, lust of the eyes, lust of the flesh, pride of life. And what Jesus Christ did in becoming a man was he took all of those opportunities the devil had and he subordinated them, subjugated them to the will of God, even to the point of nailing them all to a cross. So that you and I now you have someone who has gained victory in a body, just like the body you got, except without sin. He gained victory in a body, even to the point dying on a cross, making that body be subject to the will of God, and then becoming a substitutionary sacrifice for every man, woman, child that has flesh and blood like he had. And now he becomes a sacrifice that is acceptable to God. And the Bible says he obedient unto death, even the death of the cross, which is a horrible death. So it's not just like he beat death or he gained victory over sin and lived out a life to old age or all that. No, he gained victory over sin in injustice and a cruel death, torture, just a horrible torturous trial, even the death of the cross. The Bible says he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes we are healed. Then it goes on to say, as many were stoned at thee, and his visage was so marred more than any man, and his form more than the sons of men. He says, I gave my back to the smiters, my cheeks to them that plucked off the hair. I hid not my face from shame and spitting. Now, it's one thing to think about a man doing that. It's another thing to think about God doing that. Then it's yet another thing to think about God doing that for you. You understand? I mean, it's you watch a man go through that. Probably, it would turn your head, you'd probably look away, you probably wouldn't want to watch something like that. But then you think that's not just a man, that's God doing that. And then you think and realize that's not just God doing that, that's God doing that for you. In your place, in my place. Injustice. I mean, multiple times he goes through Pilate. Pilate says, I find no fault in him. The centurion that's standing by the cross says, this is the Son of God here. Cruel death. And then the Bible says in verse 9, back over in Philippians chapter 2, because of all this, because this was his mindset, this is the thoughts that went through Jesus Christ's mind, the Bible says, wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name. You know what God the Father found in Jesus Christ the man? He found someone he could trust with all his blessings, found someone he could trust to rule. He found someone who was worthy to be King of kings and Lord of lords. And so the Bible says he has committed all things into the hands of the Son. He found someone who was worthy, who could handle, who could do, who could take what God would give him. It was Jesus Christ. So God has highly exalted him, given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, and like this, of things in heaven. All right, if you're in heaven and you've got knees, they're going to bow. If you're on the earth and you've got knees, they're going to bow. If you're in the earth and you've got knees, they're going to bow. Everything. Heaven, earth, under the earth. He just covers the whole thing. And that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. So, starting out, he says, let this mind be in you. As much as you can, let this mind be in you. Jesus Christ was God manifest in the flesh, and then he humbled himself, and then God highly exalted him. Now, here's a couple verses to show you about this. Look in 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1, give you a couple verses that go with this. First Peter chapter 1 and verse 13 says, wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind. It's almost like, get ready. If you're going to serve God, get ready. Get prepared. Gird up the loins of your mind. Be sober and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Get ready, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. All right, look in chapter 4 now. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 1. It says, for as much then, 1 Peter 4:1, for as much then as Christ hath suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves likewise with the same mind. For he that hath suffered in the flesh hath ceased from sin, that he no longer should live the rest of his time in the flesh to the lusts of men, but to the will of God. All right, that's how you get away from the lusts of the flesh. He said, the lusts of men, but to the will of God. Arm yourself with the same mind that Jesus Christ had. And then the Bible says he's highly exalted. He says over there in John chapter 3, I think I quoted a while ago, says, the Father loveth the Son and hath given all things into his hand. He's highly exalted. He's given a name above every name. Every knee should bow, every tongue confess, Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. And all that comes about, I mean, you can say all that comes about because of the perspective, the thought, the psychology, whatever you want to call it, the mind of Jesus Christ prepared the body of Jesus Christ to do the will of God. So he says, let this mind be in you. You got the blueprints. This is the thoughts of Jesus Christ. Now, if you want to serve God, you're going to have these same thoughts. Otherwise, you'll, at some point in time, you'll want to protect the flesh. You'll want to go off astray and enjoy the lust of the flesh or things like that, and it will keep you from serving God. Otherwise, if you're going to serve God, keep yourself from getting, offended. There you go. Offended. Keep yourself from getting offended when you serve God. This is the mindset to have. And some things, I just say some things, you read through those things of Jesus Christ and what he did and how he condescended. Some things, truly, and here's a little good thing to think about. Some things will truly be, I don't want to say just between you and the Lord, but they will just be between you and the Lord. Jesus Christ does things that no one understood. They watched him do things that didn't make any sense. And truly his life was lived. And I don't want to say that because I don't want you to get the idea that you just live an isolated life and that's pleasing to God. But you have to have the mentality that I'm going to serve God. And I'm going to serve God whether I'm doing it by myself or whether other people come along or not. I'm just going to serve God. Some things are just going to be between the Lord and I. Just what's going to happen. So the mind of Christ. I mean, there's so much to. I feel like there's so much we could say.